Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am Deanna Potter from the Center for Organization Effectiveness and your host for Sassy Sales and Business Development. And with me today is our leading lady, Wendis Fernandez Brinkard. Wendis, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us. Excuse me.
Good morning, Deanna.
I am so thrilled to have you with us today, and our topic today is how solid systems support success. And you know what? I know you to be a very focused, very organized, and very intentional lady. And I know that there's a lot of us out there in the world of business that could use a little bit more of what you do. So I'm very excited to have you on board and to really be able to share some of the secrets and strategies and successes that you've experienced, and also some of the struggles that I know you're always willing and so generous to share, because boy, oh boy, we also experience those along the way, do we not?
Oh, my gosh, absolutely.
100%. So, you know what, right now you work with Trilogy Financial Services, and I know you're the Senior VP of Investments. And, you recently were recognized in 2015 as the 40 Under 40 Award winner here in San Diego. Quite the achievement. I know those of us over 40 don't want to feel bitter about the whole thing, but congratulations are in order. But I want to go way beyond that. I want to start in the beginning. How did you originally get started in your career path? You know, where did it all kind of, you know, begin at the young, ripe age of, you know, maybe 20-ish?
Well, it began out of college at 22, actually, when I was trying to figure out where on earth or what on earth I was going to do next, right? And I think we all get into college and it's the next step, and then college is over, and I'm sure I wasn't the only one who felt like, oh my gosh, what do you do now? And for me, I was lucky. I just put my resumes out there. This company, Trilogy, reached out to me, and I had done multiple interviews that week with other organizations. And this is the kind of industry that you apprenticed into at that point. And I met with them, thought about it. I came from a very financially minded background, and it was a natural fit. So I took the leap.
Wow. So when you say you got lucky, would you say you got lucky based on the fact that you got picked up so quickly or based on the company that you ended up with?
I think I got lucky that I took the leap, because so many people, because this industry that I'm in is really like, you build it and then you make money. You don't make any money prior to building it. And although now we have a different hiring program where we do offer a base salary, back when I started in the industry, it was, I hate to say you eat what you kill, but essentially you get paid when you bring clients on. And I was willing to take that jump at that point in my life. And although it was slow growing, it has paid off. But a lot of people aren't willing to take those risks.
Why do you think that is?
Okay, well, this is a big, it's like a big answer, right? Because I would say right now we have a new generation coming up, and millennials aren't willing to take that risk, and we're not actually sure why. So we actually had to redo our hiring process to bring on new advisors, because we saw a decline where people just weren't willing to work off of what you'd consider like commission or building your business. They want some base income. And maybe that's because they don't want to live at their parents' house and they want to move out. And I had to move home with my mom to start this.
Wow.
Other people transition into this industry later on when they have some emergency money that they can live off of for a small period of time.
So when you say that you moved back home with your mom, how long did you operate kind of in that transition until you got your feet under you and were able to kind of feel like you were stable enough to, you know, move out on your own, you know, build some foundation?
1 year. It took me one year to build a foundation enough to be able to support myself without worrying anymore.
So that seems to me pretty quick. When I mean, I've had my own share of, you know, entrepreneurial-based businesses. That's pretty fast. How? What did you do? What kind of? How did you approach it? What was the market like at the time? What systems? How did you build your database?
Good question. I initially built my database just kind of through personal contacts, like, who do you know who's willing to talk to me? And I'm lucky I grew up in San Diego. So, like, I had all my college friends to start with, and then some of my parents' friends were crazy enough to trust me, which is awesome. And they're still my clients today, which is even more awesome. So it just kind of depends on – for me, it was I didn't take no for an answer. So literally, until someone said, never call me again, I think you are bat blank crazy – I would call, and that persistence wore people down. Because I think people think that if they don't answer your phone call, you're going to go away. I didn't believe that. I didn't believe in that, I should say.
You know, that's very interesting that you say that, because when I work with coaching clients right now, they have a really hard time with the, well, I already called once, and I sent an email, what should I do now? I don't want to appear pushy. I don't want to bother people. Do you find when you're mentoring or when you're working with members of your team that you run into that and that people have this hesitation of how they're going to be perceived?
Well, yes. And then you have to answer or ask, what kind of a message are you leaving? Like, I would literally say in my message, I'm happy to stop calling, but I need you to tell me to stop calling. So please either return my voicemail, my call, or answer the next time I call and let me know.
Wow.
Honesty is okay. Like, why beat around the bush? I hate a pushy salesman. Hate it. There's no reason to be pushy. But honesty is respect in business. And I would tell people, like, I don't understand what your silence means. Maybe I'm just calling you when you're too busy, so I'm going to keep trying until I catch you, unless you don't want me to continue trying.
I love that phrase. I want to go back and make sure nobody missed that. I don't understand what your silence means, so I'm going to continue to keep calling until you let me know not to. Oh,
right.
That's magic. That is magic.
Because
that's
you can
great.
Be, you can, like, I had a great breakfast meeting this week with another gal. She's a property casualty gal, and she was telling me this story about someone who was way beyond boundaries, pushy. He kept stopping by her office without calling and asking for meetings with her boss, even though she had politely declined. And, like, that's pushy. But continuing to call because someone hasn't given you an answer and then being honest in your voicemail is not pushy.
Love it. Love it. So tell me, you're working through things. So you moved back, you moved out, you did your year. You're getting kind of the foundation laid. And what comes next? What's the next trajectory along the way? You're building some of that book of business. Obviously, I know from the industry that you're in, there's a tremendous amount of product knowledge that you need to continue to learn, and there's a lot of changes that come along the way, you know, regulatory changes and testing and things like that. How do you balance the lead generation along with staying apprised of what's going on in the industry?
So to go back to the kind of what was next
mm-hmm.
was what Trilogy did was they basically bring you in and they give you this, I want to say this foundation. This is how you start doing business. And ultimately what this foundation is it's a script. It's a process. They apprentice you into the industry. So when you're first starting in the industry, these are the things you need to know. As you grow in the industry, you start to add knowledge onto this. Okay, well, now that you've seen this situation, this is how we approach this. And they really roll up their sleeves and help you understand how to work with clients in different situations as you bring those situations to the table. So I was really lucky that I worked with an organization that gave me a really good foundation. At the point in which I had grown kind of beyond what they were used to, I reached out to other counterparts in the industry and other organizations in the industry to continue my education. So it's okay, like, now I'm one of the leaders here for that reason. So it never hurts to use all the resources of where you're at, but don't be afraid to seek outside resources when you find them necessary. And the problem with that is that a lot of people think that they are necessary before they're necessary. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, yes.
So
yeah.
Get your foundation first. And I think people think they want all the knowledge and it all at once. It didn't hurt that Trilogy had a slow rollout of information. We've hired people here and had to let them go because they were so obsessed with knowing everything before they could make a single client, they were never going to be successful.
Yeah, excellent point. Excellent point. So tell me, right now you are managing a team, I understand, correct?
Yes.
And so how in the past you have kind of run
I was a lone wolf.
I was going to say, yes.
I was a lone wolf.
And you were okay with that. You kind of,
very
you
okay with that.
Great, you've been a great, great lone wolf. So before, actually, let's talk a little bit about this lone wolf piece. Because would you consider yourself a pretty disciplined individual?
Very.
Okay. And how have you always been that way, or was that something that is self-taught?
I would argue that I always had it in me, but I went through a period of time when I was still trying to get my feet underneath me right out of college when I started in this industry that I wasn't as disciplined as I needed to be. And I didn't understand why I wasn't having the success that I ultimately wanted. And I had a couple wake-up moments, and then I implemented discipline. And basically, there's like a fork in the road in my business for where it really turned on. And discipline was a huge component of that. And because I'm a disciplined person, it was easy to turn on.
Okay, totally makes sense. Understand. So let me ask you this. When you saw that shift, give us a couple of examples of some of the things that you implemented that helped support that powerful shift in your business.
I think the first thing is having a routine. So I get up at the same time every day. I put my game face on. So I go to work looking how I would want any client to see me on any given day, regardless of whether or not I'm ultimately seeing clients. I get to the office, and I have a process. I get my coffee at this time. I check emails at this time. I schedule my voicemail return phone calls at this time. So it's a very structured day. When you do that and you know where you need to be and at what time and how much time you have for certain tasks, you tend to act with a little bit more awareness when you're doing a task. Like, I know this task needs to end at this time, and I need to move to the next one, so I need to act with a certain amount of quickness, not just, you know, meandering through the morning, and, oh, when I get to that, and then all of a sudden you get to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you don't have enough hours in the day, and you're stressed out. Had you started your morning differently, maybe that wouldn't be the case.
So, you know what? I love what you're saying, because the word that comes to mind is intention. You said the word quickness, but it sounds like everything you do is very intentional. I mean, this hour is intended for this. This hour is intended for that. So when you get to that 3 o'clock, you know exactly what has been accomplished, and you can count on that every day. Outstanding. Wow. So along this way, you've been this lone wolf. You've said, you know, I've got habits and so forth. Are you very clear on goals? Do you write goals? Do you set goals?
I set my business plan. I added a marketing plan into that a couple of years ago. I was really proud of that. I basically just incorporated a marketing plan into my business plan, and I understand the difference, which is something a lot of people should embrace. So I do my goals every single year.
Can you tell our listeners what is, just in a couple words, the difference between a business plan and a marketing plan?
Your business plan, in my opinion, is these are the goals I'm hoping to achieve, the markers I'm hoping to meet, and a marketing plan really rolls out the execution of what you're going to do to continue to provide yourself with essentially more opportunities. So they're not the same thing. So I have my business plan, and then this next to it is this plan of, it goes monthly, weekly, daily. These are the things that I'm going to do to drip on my clients, to stay connected to my clients, to provide events for my clients to come and enjoy. Some events are going to be open up to non-clients as well as clients. Some events are just clients. Some are intimate. You know, so the marketing plan really details like how I'm going to connect to the people in my book that I want to either grow or build or get referrals from.
Outstanding. Excellent. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you. I apologize for interrupting. Please continue.
No. I don't even remember what we were talking about before.
and so therefore, I have failed as an interviewer 101 because you're not supposed to interrupt, but I so wanted that nugget.
You know what, though?
So
but I think I remember my business plan, it has two components to it because you asked about the business plan.
Yes.
The two components are essentially what I plan to achieve that year, and then I have a five-year plan. And I actually update my five-year plan every year because I want to see if I'm either on track or if I need to adjust my five-year plan.
Mm-hmm.
So mine has a short-term and a long-term.
And so, you know, I find that when I work with people, you know, they have a really hard time. Either people are really good at setting the long-term goals and they struggle with the everyday stuff, or they're really great with the short-term and they have a hard time seeing the longer vision. Are some goals easier for you to set on a time perspective versus others?
Some goals, you know what? I think that the problem with the long-term goal in my mind is that, like I said, I update it every single year because mm-hmm. as your life changes, your long-term goals automatically shift. So for me, I would actually say I think visualizing where you want to be in 5 years is important, but I do think addressing that on an annual basis is also important so that as your life changes, you don't beat yourself up. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So
yes.
Everyone has
oh, yeah.
these obstacles, and sometimes the obstacles take you down a different path, and some people may feel like that's derailing, and it's not. It's kind of life. It's not derailing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just adjusting. Sometimes you just have to adjust.
Yes.
I think
yes.
you have to be flexible, and so many people are not flexible.
Yes, which is so interesting because some people listening in are thinking, here is a woman saying you have to be flexible who just said that she wakes up and drinks her coffee at the exact same time every single day.
Right?
Exactly.
But that's a really good point.
Yes, yeah. But hey, there are times for acceptable.
But there are days I don't drink it at that time. There are days that it doesn't happen, and that's the flexibility. It's the intent to make it happen with the realization of understanding that life happens.
There you go. Excellent.
No,
could not have said it better.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right. So we understand the lone wolf period. I love the systems. I love the growth. Now let's talk about the door. I happen to know there was a knock on the door that said things are going to change, and things changed. And now you have a team. So tell us a little bit about that transition, how things come about, because, you know, some people in their lives actually will choose to grow and add a team, but that wasn't necessarily how it happened for you.
No, it wasn't. And there are days, maybe like this morning, where I find having a team is more challenging than getting my children to get along. And that's okay, because there's a lot of benefits to having the right support. And mm-hmm. I find mm-hmm. that clients want to know that you aren't alone. They like to know that there's other people they can reach out to. And I have to tell you now that I have run a team, many of my clients reach out to my team for things that they deem not worthy of my attention. It's been a huge time saver, right?
How now, did you feel about that in the beginning, though?
Well, and that has had its challenges, too, because I had some shifts in my team where some team members didn't stay or maybe I didn't let them stay. And it is important to make sure that you do have your clients understand that in the end, you are the person they should communicate with if they really need something so that they mm-hmm. don't get frustrated if they don't hear back from the team.
Mm-hmm.
But I do appreciate now that I do have a consistent team that has been big support for my clients. Because I
Very
am
good.
Not, I mean, I am, it's not that I'm hard to reach. I'm not hard to reach, but I'm not as easy to reach as I once was, as I do see a lot of clients on a weekly basis.
Sure.
So it's nice
sure.
for them to have a way to talk to someone right now when they really do feel like they need something right now.
Yeah. Do you think, do you think that you are a good leader?
I don't know.
I love it.
I don't honestly, I think that when you are leading, you'd like to believe that you are one, but that it has its challenges and requires feedback from those that you are leading. So I don't know the answer to that.
You're learning?
Learning.
Learning. All right. With leaders that you have had, What has made a good leader for you to look up to or work with in the past?
Good leaders to me are almost like mentors, people who have passed before me that were really instrumental in helping me succeed on that path. You know, whether or not they took a special interest in me and where I was, or just they were able to interject and give me feedback that they felt like I needed to hear. So good leaders for me in my life have been people who have inserted themselves even when I wasn't looking for it.
Okay. So right now, as you're running your team, you shared with us some of the things from the lone wolf standpoint, some of the, you know, disciplines that you put in place. What are some of the disciplines that you're using right now from a team perspective that seem to be working for you?
Huge communication. See, the biggest problem with a team is what you say and how they interpret it are wildly different. It's horrible. We've had to implement a series of Google Docs where they are live and we can all edit them as the day goes. And the team is constantly editing them so they can see when I've had a calendar change or when a new task has been implemented. And as much as we all like to believe in email, email isn't always the best way to communicate with your team because your team might get a lot of email every day. We use the Google Doc to actually hand out tasks for the day. You can do that in a CRM, and I've had CRMs that were capable of doing that. What we found in the CRM is that I can assign tasks, but ultimately I wasn't getting a clear picture of when a task was done or where someone was on the task. In the Google Doc, we have a notes section, and we can constantly update each other where we're at. It's so simple to have a shared Google Doc that you wouldn't believe how much it cleared up. It cleared the air. I can see in one screenshot who's working on what and how many people and how many tasks each individual has.
So in a way, it almost sounds like you're using it at like a project management, a low-level project management system.
It is, and it's great, and it's not complicated. It's so simple, and I think people think it needs to be more complicated than it really is. But our staff, we have like 10 tasks a day that need to be handled, and it's cool to be able to see who's having success that day and who isn't.
Interesting. Can you tell me if I were to sit down with you and you were to show me your 5-year plan, what are some of the objectives that you're looking at going after and achieving over the next 5 years?
Business or in personal life?
Well, let's stick to business for right now.
Got it. So in my business, I'd probably like to add one more team member.
And how many right now?
There are 4 total, including myself. And I'd actually like to add 2 more, really. So my 5-year plan would be to add a personal assistant to the team, like someone who would just be an assistant, not an advisor, and add one more advisor to the team. That would be my 5-year goal, is to grow a little bit more in my team. And my 5-year business goal would essentially be to, I want to say, triple my book of business. I manage assets, and I get paid by how much I manage. And I'd like to triple how much I manage in my 5-year plan. I think that's reasonable and attainable.
And when you look at that, you funnel what type of activities to support that growth. What do you focus on as lead generation activities primarily?
Well, I would actually say that the vast majority of my referrals come from people I currently do business with, because obviously they know the depth and breadth of energy that we put into our clients as they are clients. Mm-hmm. I do also get a huge amount of referrals from the networking I do. And I think on the networking side, I hear often, oh, I'm not getting anything out of this group. Or, you know, I hear lots of negative comments from certain networking. In my opinion, what you get out of a networking group is going to directly correspond to how much you are putting into it and how often you're showing up. And I'll go out and have one-on-one lunches with people I met at the networking group, and that's where the business is done. Not in the networking group, but through the lunches and contacts that I have with those people after the fact.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. Yes, I agree.
It's not like I show up at a lunch and I leave with business. I show up at a lunch and I leave with a contact. And that contact becomes someone I drip on, whether or not it's personally, we get together, and then we eventually grow our contact from there.
Yes, yes. So you do networking, and obviously you continue, you have some sort of a marketing. Well, this is when it gets back to how important that marketing plan and marketing campaigns become to supporting the business plan, correct?
Yes.
Got it.
And that was a tough thing for me to understand, is how much do I need to put back into my marketing plan and into my business? Because if I wanted to, you know, triple or quadruple my business, what I was doing was fine, but it wasn't to that level. So if I wanted to grow to that level, I needed to make some bigger changes on what I did to generate more referrals from my existing clients.
Got it. Excellent. So tell me, on the personal side, five-year plan?
Five-year plan. You know what? We've gone through a lot of changes in our personal life, and we really want to buy a specific house in 5 years. And that is going to require a huge down payment and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. We owned a condo.
Wow.
We sold it. We had some changes. My husband decided to stay at home with the kids. So we've had a lot of financial changes in the last couple of years that have made it so that now it's very clear what we want to do in our next 5 years. We really want to buy what I like to call the cold, dead body house. The house that you will pry my cold, dead body out of. I don't just – and it's so interesting because a lot of people talk about a house as like, oh, well, that's their next house purchase. I want that next house purchase to be the last house that I buy to live in personally.
Wow. Hey, that's the way it used to be generations ago, so good for you. I love it.
But, you know, there's nothing wrong with buying a starter house. I've done that. But I don't want to buy a starter house now. And I don't want to buy the next house. This is the
You want to unpack boxes for the last time. I think that's something, there's a glorious thing to that. Very good. Very good. I love it. Well, Windis, you know what? You've given us so much great information here. Can you share with us, if people have more questions, would love to talk to you, would love to do business with you, what's the best way for them to reach you?
You know, my phone number is ultimately the best way, but we also have a website, and anyone can email us through our website as well. So I'll start with my website. It's guideyourstory.com. So www.guideyourstory.com. And my direct phone number is 858-314-5169. And what's also really important for people to understand is that, you know, we can work with anyone no matter where they're at in the U.S. So it doesn't need to be someone locally.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for taking the time with us today. We really appreciate it. And everyone, that's our show for today. We are so happy to have you. I want to give a special thanks to all of our listeners. We will be back next Monday morning with another Women Lead radio show. And we're here every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Our leading lady for next week will be Amy Lewiski, founder and artistic director of Findest City Improv, and author of Relax, We're All Just Making This Stuff Up. So you don't want to miss that. And we are looking forward to, you know, always having you guys back every week. The topic next week will be her publishing journey of her book, Relax, We're All Just Making This Stuff Up. So please check in next week at 9 a.m. with us right here, same place, same time. Thank you again, Windis. Please have a great day, and everyone, go forth, be prosperous. And you know what? Keep yourself organized, people. It's all about doing your best.
Thanks, Deanna.
Thank you.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.